You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
May the 5th, Cinco de Mayo, 2022. We are live streaming at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com in the search engine, enter Larry Connors, USA, all one word. You can also, while it's open, and of course you go down and find the live location, push live, and you're in the studio with us, you can subscribe. We encourage you to subscribe. Could it be sent to you free? And a notification in advance that's getting ready to go on the air, so you won't miss a single thing. I note that many of you can't watch live, but you end up watching it later hours. That's what I'm seeing off of some of the numbers already. So we have, according to one of the Ukrainian leaders, that the Russians are breaking their pledge to allow citizens to leave through evacuation corridors again. Once again, they violated the promise of a truce, would not allow citizens to evacuate who were hiding in the basements of that plant that they've been surrounding lately. About 100 were able to leave the plant Sunday, none since. There's still 200 and 300, including 30, 40 children inside, and the Russians simply won't let up and let them get out. And for a while, there was word that some of those who were released never showed up where they were supposed to. We don't know if they or actually got free or not. Oh, Dr. Fake making himself relevant again. He's warning the world is, quote, still in the middle of a pandemic. He says it's not here, but around the world it is. Now, with that in mind, should Title 42 be dropped by the Biden administration and the CDC? If the pandemic is raging elsewhere in the world, and it seems that everyone south of the border has come from some other part of the world. Certainly they're not in the U.S. already. And yet we're going to drop Title 42 that would be used to keep those with COVID and other diseases from coming in. No, they're going to still play out their cards the way they plan it at this point. Well, if you've been feeling pretty good about what was happening on Wall Street, that went to hell, didn't it? Today, the Dow opened and immediately dropped 1,000 points. It's still sitting down around 1,100 points below. Mortgage rates are up again this week. That continues an upward trend, pushing rates more than 2% points higher. U.S. trade deficit up 22% in March. 22%. And according to a CNN Wednesday poll, this is CNN now. Americans believe the economy is in the worst shape since January of 2012. That is from CNN. In fact, it found that only 2% consider the economy is, quote, very good. I really want to see those who say the economy is really, really very good. Let me see, would that be Pelosi with her ice cream freezer? Oh, but things could be worse. In Turkey, consumer price inflation approaching 70%. The Georgia High School Association announcing unanimously that it's going to hold to basic fact and science and changed its laws to prevent transgender athletes from competing in sports under the gender they've chosen to identify with. In other words, if you're born a girl, you are a girl, period. Now, I know how that's going to fly in the face of what other school districts are doing. And, for instance, up in Oregon, they're now going to require that feminine products, along with the instructions on how to use those products, be placed in all the K-12 bathrooms, regardless of gender, part of the Menstrual Dignity Act signed into law. So, men, you'll see, or boy, you'll be seeing menstrual products inside the women's restroom, or the men's restroom, I should say. This is just continuing to be going downhill so fast if we're going to let it go. I'm going to spend a lot of time on it in the next hour because they are going to continue to attack your children at every level. And now the Biden Minister of Truth Information had made comments that are coming to light back in Ohio back in October that critical race theory is a red hot button issue that Republicans are trying to use to raise money. The critical race group as a whole has been trying to raise money off of it. Nothing new there for either side, but she says she's the minister of truth.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Hi, I'm a queer teacher.
I'm gender fluid. I am also a witch.
I would come out to my students every October on National Coming Out Day. I would use that as an opportunity for my students to learn how to receive somebody coming out to them.
I ended up telling my students that I was gay. So they were asking me if I was, because I kind of alluded that I was. So I kind of let them wonder and ponder on it. So instead of teaching social studies today, they just asked me a whole bunch of questions about being gay.
Okay. All right. There you have several teachers willingly going to TikTok and putting themselves on there. It wasn't video caught while they were teaching. They just wanted to use TikTok as their way to get word out that I'm teaching kids about being gay and pushing transgender ideology in front of them, which would also include surgery, hormone, puberty blockers, things of that nature. If that's what's going on in your school, and you as a parent have been told that that's what that teacher is doing, and you're allowing it, well, then you at least are in the know. But the problem is, we have too many that have been denying they're teaching it at all, saying we're not teaching critical race theory, when there are numerous evidence, pieces of evidence showing they have and they are, the very books they bring in. Down in Florida the other day, when they took something like 40 math textbooks, math, and struck them from the school curriculum because they were critical race theory teaching. How does that fit into math exactly? 2 + 2 = critical race? Some of those books have now been put back in play because the editors agreed to change what they had put in there. They want those books in their school, in the schools. So they decide we'll have to take that part out and redo it. Instead of asking if two transgender students walk into a classroom filled with 40 heterosexual students, what is the difference? I don't know if that's a real fact. I just made that one up. But when they tell you they're not teaching it to your children and they're not pushing them in a direction, that's where things really break down. Because if you, the parent, are not getting the facts and the truth, do you really think your children are getting the facts and truth? Or otherwise, wouldn't they let you know exactly what we're teaching? Like that social teacher said, we are going to be today, instead of doing social studies, they had asked me about if I was gay. I thought, let's just talk about that. Well, now, maybe they did. Maybe it happened exactly as he was saying, he, she, I don't know what he was, but the answer from the teacher at that point should be, I'd love to do that with you, but we'll have to have that discussion either after school and with your parents' knowledge, or with your parents' permission before we do it in school. It's that simple. If you're going to try to teach it and you want to get it out, and I have no problem with trying to help kids understand differences and try to find common ground, but don't do it in the dark, which is what they've been doing. Here's some more gay teachers about how they've been going along and teaching their students.
Let's talk about gender roles and talking about them in the classroom.
Talking about gender is not something that's out of the realm for children.
Research says that there is no age too young to talk about pretty much anything.
Kids as young as 3 and 4 are actually aware of their gender identity.
If they know about it, they're ready to learn about it.
Also very aware of who they like and who they don't like. They're very much ready for these topics and are way more accepting than adults when it comes to discussing these topics.
My classroom is one of the gayest places probably on the planet.
Most days of the week, I come to school in stilettos so I can create an explicitly queer space for all of my students.
Everything is completely covered in rainbows. I've got flags everywhere. I've got queer literature. Parents might...
You hear how they set the classrooms up? One teacher coming to obviously a male transgender coming to school in stilettos, and the school board allows it. Drag queens hosting reading hours for second graders. Public libraries also involving public dollars, holding similar type discussions with children. But if it's that true education and not trying to shape or form children, then be very honest about it. You heard the one man saying that research says there is no age too young to talk about pretty much anything. I don't know what research he's talking about. Do you want to talk to a 2-year-old about really where babies come from at that point in their life? Sure, they'll ask questions. They see mommy, they point, and it's, you always say it's the tummy, when in fact we know it's not the tummy. Some of you adults, maybe I woke you up then. No, they're not carrying babies in their tummy. That's why men cannot be a woman. She carries it in her womb. And he says if they know about it, they're ready to learn about it. Well, if you keep putting in front of them, then you're going to basically push it in to the extent, and no pun intended, that you're going to take advantage of those kids because you don't think their parents are aware of it. One of the teachers was talking about how to hide it. Before we tell you how they're hiding it in some of the classrooms, let me read something to you from the Washington that came out of the Washington Post in an editorial this week. The Washington Post liberal media referring to pregnant women by their gender this week, I should say avoided referring to pregnant women by gender as they were discussing the leak out of the U.S. Supreme Court. They were referring to, here's the way it reads, the Constitution's guarantees of personal autonomy demand that pregnant people be able to make the difficult decision about whether to end their pregnancy according to their own conscience. Pregnant people. And they go farther in, again, is referring to wealthy people would have to cross state lines to get an abortion, while poor people would be forced to continue with their pregnancies. At no point does the Washington Post ever say anything about expectant mothers, and they refer to birthing people. And in fact, they made a comment, and they got blasted by critics when it referred to black birthing people in D.C. make up 90% of birth-related deaths, according to a new survey. That set off a firestorm of folks angry over the term of the phrase and birthing people. They're in this so deep, they cannot decide which way to go and how best to explain it. Because it's all BS. It's not political science. It's BS science all the way. So they got to stick with the terms, birthing people. You can't even use the word woman. You can't even refer to the body parts and refer to the womb. I guess you would say prostate cancer, which would maybe applies to people that have prostate cancer, which would only be men. I told you earlier today that the Georgia High School Association has decided to set up laws protecting boys and girls, total, and not going to allow transgender athletes from competing in sports if they're born biological one way and they want to compete in the biological class on the other side. That won't, they will not allow it. Good. I'm glad to hear that. But I also told you that in Oregon, they're now going to put feminine products, by law, they have to put feminine products along with instructions on how to use in all bathrooms regardless of gender. They've been doing that in California for some time, requiring California law, requiring colleges stock their restrooms with free menstrual products. But now the state of Oregon is going to say even K through 12. Even if you're talking about people, the only some people a certain age would even have a period. And there's only one class of people that would have it. You and I know that. So they're not teaching again. They're indoctrinating. And they have their clever little ways to hide it. If you walk into your classroom and the teacher seemed to be, well, they seem to be a normal person in the sense of what they're teaching, and while you're in there, they're talking about pronouns, not trying to put pronoun listing on different people, and they're calling your child by the proper name, and your child is a boy, is not sitting there wearing a skirt, and the teacher knows that they're doing it without your permission. I mean, none of that. Everything seems to be fine. But teachers have a way of marking some classrooms and letting the kids in turn know that when they walk in there that they could be enjoying or become part of or trend with transgenders. Listen to this.
Parents might complain, and there's actually a way to be really sneaky about supporting specifically queer students. Dropping a pink triangle somewhere in your room makes a huge difference because kids look for that.
Recently we started wearing pronoun pins, and the kids get to pick a new pronoun pin. We have some that pick like she, her every single day, and we have some that change it up.
And I just double check with them if I call home what name they want, what pronouns they want, because a lot of them will just use their given name and their given pronouns. So just double check that.
I like to avoid gendered language when I talk to my students. My students really like guys, gals, and non-binary pals. I even refer to them as different animals, you know, just to keep it light and fun.
To say that pre-K through third grade are not ready for such topics is actually internalized homophobia and transphobia.
That's right. If you want to say K through three are not ready for that, then you're transphobic or you're homophobic. And putting pink triangles in the classroom so the parents won't really know what it is, but the kids do. Word gets around. And that's how they're going to be teaching them. I find it interesting. The one teacher said, well, I refer to them as animals. We have different kinds of animals. Well, riddle me this, teach. Is there only one sex among the animals? In some parts of the animal world, yes, there is, where they can fertilize themselves. Yes, that's true. But generally, there is, you want to say male or you want to say boy animal, and a female animal or girl animal. In other words, the animal kingdom is a lot smarter than what some of these teachers are. They know their role, their natural role of having a chance to produce offspring. They may not really fully understand it. That's understandable. But they certainly know there are things that will help and things that won't, and they know that two females are not going to have an animal, nor two males. They know it. Your kids should be taught stuff like that if you're going to be educating and teach it all instead of redirecting them and saying, well, don't look at yourselves as boys and girls. You're animals, a different type of animal. Oh, isn't everything great? This is what's happening in our schools. All right. Before we wrap up, I want you to hear from a mother of children who was almost aborted. But before that, the economy.
Is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Two things sure stand out in this new poll. One, the economy, a top priority. And two, Americans disapprove of President Biden's handling of this more than ever before.
Yeah, and those two things together spell a tough political environment for Democrats, the president and his party. Take a look here. Most important issue, it's by far, Jake. 50% of people in this poll say the economy is the most important issue facing the country. Russia-Ukraine war at 14%, immigration at 10%. Everything else in single digits. We should note this poll was completed just before that bombshell news from the Supreme Court on abortion. Biden's handling of that number one issue, only at a 34% approval rating on the economy, 66% disapprove. And that number there, Jake, that's been going down since our poll earlier this year. He was at 37% approval on the economy. Now he's down to 34%. And in terms of Biden's policies, look at this. A majority of Americans in this poll, 55%, say Biden's policies have actually worsened economic conditions. 26% no effect. Only 19% of Americans in this poll say Biden's policies have improved conditions.
Wow. That's pretty staggering. Not the numbers, but the source. That was actually CNN doing legitimate reporting. Without trying to taint it, without trying to color it up, in fact, make it as plain as simple. That was a CNN poll that they were referring to. And Jake Tapper pointing out that, boy, these numbers are not good. Two things stand out. People, the economy is very concerning to them. They don't think Biden is handling anything. And Brian Stelzer had to do his little tiptoe dance over there as well and saying, yes, you're right, Jake. Look at these numbers. And they are staggering. So see, it does not make any difference your political stripe. If you're in this country, we're all in this boat together. Are you going to try to plug up the leaks or are you going to continue to let it go down? Plugging the border is the first stop. Waves of illegals continue to come across. They're going to go after the lowest skilled jobs they can, the lowest paying, and are going to some jobs that maybe someone else is already making more money, but say coming in, I'll work for less and do the same thing. You see anything in there that's going to be good? Let's go through it a little bit. 77% from the survey by CNN say that the Biden economy is poor. Poor. And also translate to maybe I'm poor. 47% said the economy is somewhat poor. In other words, it's okay. And 30% said it's very poor. The same CNN survey said only 2% said the economy is very good. The poll also found the economy is the number one issue for Americans, 36 points. 36 points. Then comes Ukraine war, immigration, below that. Global warming, 9%. Racial unrest, 5%. Coronavirus, 5%. Education, 4%. Goldman banker stating recession risk has risen. The financial health of the private sector may ultimately determine whether policy tightening will tilt the economy into a downturn. Currently, we are already in a 40-year high of inflation. And the same CNN poll reveals Americans trust Republicans over Democrats by 19 points, 50 to 31% to handle inflation. Do I need to state that again? 51 to 31% Republicans over Democrats support and trust that Republicans, I should say, all those polled, that Republicans could handle the economy better than Democrats could. And our U.S. trade deficit just went up again. And when the new numbers come out, they're not going to be very good either. All right, coming up, you're going to hear from a woman from the very beginning. This is a political campaign ad, so there's going to be music with it. But within there is a real story of a woman who was born to an 11-year-old mother. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. So be wise and keep on reading the signs of my body. I'm on tonight, you know my hips don't lie. And I'm starting to feel you, boy. Come on, let's go.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Her gender, they called her a Negro girl, and that was the first thing I saw, and it just kind of grabbed my heart. But then I saw her age, and she was 12. And that just really struck a chord in me because I realized just how young my mother was when something so horrible had visited upon her. Even to this day, it's a very hard word to say, but my mother was raped. Given her young age, at 11 years old, my father being 21.
That is powerful, isn't it? Those are words of Kathy Barnett. She's a Republican candidate for U.S. Senate in Pennsylvania. It's a video she released. Now, I know there'll be some that are saying, oh, she's using that, trying to get tears and votes and so forth. She's basically telling a story that goes beyond politics if you really listen to it. She's currently in third place behind Dr. Oz and David McCormick for this primary in Pennsylvania. Now, I don't know how they're reacting to it in Pennsylvania, but if they're looking at her story as simply a vote-getter, I feel for them. Could she or her group have decided, hey, why don't we tell this story? It's important right now with the Roe v. Wade decision possibly coming out that would overturn Roe v. Wade and show that. But the story goes beyond the politics if you really listen. Now, you judge it the way you want to. I'm not telling you how to judge it. And yes, it may help her at the polls. It may actually backfire in the sense that she's doing it only to get votes. But it doesn't change the facts of the case. That's the point. She said when she started looking at the numbers, she first started realizing that her name didn't seem to match up with some things she'd been told. Then when she started looking at it, realized that how she was born and everything else, that her mother had been raped at age 11. And at that time, her mother had to make a decision. Here's her mother.
I don't want to use the word choice. She was going to be born. I didn't have a choice to say, you're going to live, I'm going to abort you. That wasn't a choice for me. And I thank God it wasn't a choice for me.
As a child, I knew no difference. I was loved, and I felt loved. It gave me a greater appreciation for my mother. It helped me to forgive a lot of the mistakes someone at that age, having gone through such trauma, would have made in their own parenting. But it definitely made me become very adamant about the sanctity of life, of all life, regardless of their conception, regardless of how they arrived, that I am valuable, I'm worthy, and my life has purpose.
Even conservatives, many conservatives, accept abortion in cases of rape or incest. Others limit it only to if the mother's life is in danger and or the child, or in some cases, some conservatives might accept what the child's going to be born and be inadequate in the sense of being a normal life, whatever that would be for some people. It's a tough decision. Thank God morning and night that my children are all born healthy. But here was an 11-year-old or 12-year-old at the time she's having the baby, and there was no real abortion opportunity, and she didn't have that choice unless she or someone had decided, well, we're going to get rid of this thing and this thing. We're going to take a coat hanger and maybe kill her as well as the baby. That didn't happen. She said, I kept her and I raised her. And you can hear that Kathy Barnett talking about how thankful it's proven that I do have life. And so even conservatives who say if it's rape or incest, then abortion should be allowed. You have to make that in your own decision, your own heart, your own family. It has nothing to do with a woman's rights. It has to do with the life of the child that some decide, well, if it's a victim of rape, then what are you going to say? That it shouldn't be born? I have to agree that many times I've been willing to accept that if it's a case of rape or incest. But you listen to the story, there really is no choice, is there? Once again, Kathy Barnett.
Before the foundation of the world, God saw me and he decided that I would be. And he said in his word that not only did I see you, but I called you, I predestined you. And so as a Christian, I believe in the value of life, that when I was in my mother's womb, he was knitting me together. Even among Christians, even among staunch conservatives, an exception to the rule of being pro-life for many is in the case of rape. And yet my life has value. From me has come two very beautiful and charming and smart kids, married to a wonderful husband. We've made a life for ourselves, and none of this would have happened if the exception to the rule had applied.
The exception to the rule being that abortion would be banned except in case of rape. And then before you even get into exceptions, looking at abortion in general, 800,000 minimal each year for the last several years. Yeah, shortly after Roe v. Wade was ruled to be the law of the land, there were 1.7 million abortions. Many, if not most of them, were young black women. How many black women died at that point? How many black families never existed because that child was killed? Her reference to, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I've always loved that, especially when my wife is pregnant, that even as we're in the womb, he is knitting us. It actually comes from Jeremiah, where he's talking to him, that I will make you a prophet of the nations. I knew you before, but if he knew Jeremiah in the womb, he knows you in the womb. He knows you. He has planned for you. And as she said, now look at me. I'm a woman with my own family, and to look at her kids, they wouldn't be existing, would they? The man she married still would have been here, apparently, not knowing his background, but she wouldn't have. And he had children through her, so the kids would not have existed. Back to the remarks of Kathy Barnett.
The hardest struggle for my mother, the hardest thing for her to overcome, I think is just the effects of the trauma itself. And that is why I think it's so important to help people understand that the trauma has already been inflicted. The child should not be inflicted with the consequences that squarely belongs on the one who inflicted the trauma. You have to be able to see the difference. Aborting me would not have eased the trauma that my mother suffered. Aborting me would not have allowed me to be in a place today where I can now take care of my mother.
See how the roles have reversed? And she made a solid point there in the sense that aborting me did not take away what my mother went through. And in fact, there have been numerous cases documented where women who had a children, or rather who did not have children because of they were raped or incest, still later had deep regrets, and it was a haunting thing for them to live with. Others found a way, with or without faith. And keep in mind how even those that supposedly now are so vociferous in proclaiming abortion has to stand. President Joe Biden, I've played numerous cuts and bites from him over this last week as how he swapped his position. I want to go back to one more. I want you to listen to this quote. 1 year after Roe v. Wade, Biden said, I don't think that a woman has a sole right to say what happened to her body. I don't like the Supreme Court decision on abortion. I think it went too far. He based that upon his religion and maybe other factors, but in his opinion that abortion should be a state-decided issue where voters have a say in it, rather than a federal law of the land. And yet now he's working to make it that way. This is the National Day of Prayer. It's a good time to think about not just abortion, but life. I want to discuss that when we continue.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Rottner Pest Solutions is one of the top pest control companies in the nation, and yet still family-owned for three generations, 65 years. Rottner customers still get personal, professional, safe service. I personally encourage you to call. Get a free quote. Schedule same day, next day, or a Saturday. 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, or go to rottler.com.
1, 2, 3, they gonna run back to me. They always wanna come, but they never wanna leave.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Well, of course, the Hollywood elite with the rest of the liberals have been absolutely hair on fire ever since the draft of the Alito decision on overturning Roe v. Wade became public. Actress Rosanna Arquette believes in abortion is an incredibly sacred right that millions of women, she said, now because of that, millions of women are figuring out how to get out of this country for good. She later deleted the tweet. Maybe it's because someone said, hey, where are you going to go? See, they always say, I'm going to leave the country if Trump's elected. They didn't. We'll leave the country if Roe v. Wade comes back. They won't, because this is where they can make the most money in the dollars. They're not going to leave. And if they go to Germany, nearly all abortions are illegal after 12 weeks. Well, that's not a good place for you to go. Belgium, abortion's permissible only until the 12th week. That's less than the Mississippi law that's being argued before the court, 15 weeks, or was argued. Denmark, 12 weeks, all sorts of restrictions apply. Finland, same thing, pretty much. France, abortion on demand is legal only up to 12 weeks. So where are you going to go? Where are you going to run? She's just one of them. Bette Midler, the woman's talented, was at one time in good music. I take it for that, but beyond that, could care less. She says it's been settled law. Roe v. Wade's been settled law, guaranteed by the Constitution for 50 years. The 14th Amendment to the document that's the foundation of our country's laws. I don't know why she thinks the 14th is the foundation. Every amendment in there is a foundation. Sometimes you need one to defend a case or argue a case more than the other, but they're all the foundation. And she says, if they strike down this amendment, what is to stop them from striking down others that conservatives don't agree with? And she also added, it's guaranteed by the Constitution for 50 years. It's not been guaranteed by the Constitution. It's guaranteed by justices who decided about Roe v. Wade that we'll put it under the 14th Amendment for privacy. And then it can be, quote, a woman's choice. And then you got Sarah Silverman. The idea of wearing masks to protect others or get a vaccine was met with my body, my choice. But when it comes to people with uteruses having autonomy over their bodies, I both can't and can believe this is happening. People with uteruses. Do you know that would be a woman? And then you get this from Chelsea Handler. Believe me, I dig in this stuff just to share it with you because don't get your hands dirty. I'll do it for you. She writes, it's amazing how horrified Republicans are at the leaking of a Supreme Court opinion, yet have nothing to say on an actual organized assault on our Capitol. Told you January 6th would come back. That their own party had a hand in. Can't really prove that, but they're going to do it anyway. Were actual people were murdered. And their president organized. First of all, actual people, you mean there are some that are not really actual? What are they, figments of my imagination? And were murdered? There were no were murdered. There was one that was killed by a security guard at the Capitol. Two others had heart attacks. But they're going to call, we're going to put all of them under the banner of murder. As I said, this is the National Day of Prayer. Now, Harry Truman established this back in 1952 during a joint resolution. It's a Judeo-Christian expression of the national observance based upon our reverence for God of the Bible. So that includes Jews as well. Today, Billy Graham was speaking, and he said, our country's in trouble. We're in a free fall morally, spiritually. We need to pray for our families, schools, churches, law enforcement, military, judges, our political leadership in Washington. And when Billy Graham says that, He includes the liberals, as we all should. They are our leaders. We should pray for them. You don't have to agree with them, but you should pray for them. And maybe if they will be led to the right decision. Same for world leaders. That would include Putin. Graham said the most important thing we can do is come to God and ask him for help and direction. He said, my father said, the Christian's greatest weapon is prayer. And that's what we should do. He concluded with a message from Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain gracie. I'm sorry, please forgive me. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of God, the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. I firmly do believe in prayer. And in the end of every prayer, for me, and I don't share this to make anything special, but it's just that I'm basing it partly on what he was reading there. There will be a day where every knee shall bow, every lip shall confess that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All right, day of prayer. I hope you observe it to some extent. Don't forget our motto, our legend, one God, one nation under one God.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You are listening to KXEN 1010 St. Louis. This is the home of Larry Connors, USA.
This is KXEN.